leader!
Order, order.
Parliament's adjourned this week and next, and as usual during these breaks, none of the 18 select committees met to make some progress on their bills or their various inquiries. So, with time on our hands, we kept ourselves amused by developing a couple of new features. That sound of a tape rewinding for an instant replay of things said, and also this for guessing who said them.
The Week in Parliament Mystery Voice.
And it's an easy one to start.
The Week in Parliament Mystery Voice.
Next week, the House begins a two-week recess where members of the House will be able to spend more time in their electorates and on select committee business.
Whose is that mystery voice? Rhys Lyon has the answer.
As you probably guessed, that's the government's leader of the House, Gerry Brownlee, who every Thursday makes a business statement indicating what'll be happening in the House the following week. This is what he had to say last Thursday.
Mr. Speaker, next week the House begins a two-week recess where members of the House will be able to spend more time in their electorates and on select committee business. When the House resumes on Tuesday, the 13th of October, the Government will progress a number of first readings on the order paper, including the Environment Canterbury Transitional Governments Arrangements Bill, the Taxation Transformation First Phase Simplification and Other Measures Bill, and the Health Home Carers Bill. Wednesday of that week, sir, will be a Members' Day.
That was Gerry Brownlee's business statement last Thursday before the House adjourned for 2 weeks. And this is what he had to say before the previous adjournment back in August.
Mr. Speaker, next week, while select committees will continue their business, the House will take a one-week recess.
But there were no committee meetings that week or this week, so I asked Labour's acting Shadow Leader of the House, Grant Robertson, about the lack of action in the committee rooms during adjournments.
The workload of select committees is very, very light at the moment. Legislation is very rarely introduced. Many committees are doing inquiries now, which is useful because that's a part of their job. But frankly, the government is just not generating the business that we would expect. The order paper is incredibly light. And, that is definitely different from my experience, both as an MP and as a staff member.
Grant Robertson also voiced concern about the government's recent moves to shorten the time that some bills are before committees.
I mean, the select committee process is a very important part of our legislative process. It's where, obviously, the deep analysis on legislation happens. It's where the public get their opportunity to have input. It's where officials are able to provide expert advice. Ideas are challenged, and many significant changes are often made. Whenever there's a truncated select committee process, all of those things get either eliminated or diminished. And particularly when we're looking at complex tax legislation, any truncation of the time means that there is a risk that we will have to be back amending legislation, that there will be unintended consequences. It's just not a good way to make law. It should only be used when it absolutely has to be. And we feel we're just seeing a bit much of it at the moment from the national government.
The acting Shadow Leader of the House said fast-tracking bills through select committees was sometimes acceptable, but should be rare.
There are times where there perhaps needs to be a quick change made to a piece of legislation where something's gone wrong, where there is a need because it will present a risk to the public or a risk to the finances of New Zealand that we move quickly. What it shouldn't be is when the government can't organise itself properly and then has to rush something through. And in the situation we've got at the moment with the Bright Line bill.
Yes.
The government actually made an announcement about this in May, yet here we are. The legislation's in fact already going to be retrospective anyway because they haven't met their 1st of October deadline, but they're trying to shove that through with a very truncated select committee process and a very large number of concerns being raised by members of the public and tax experts.
And as Grant Robertson mentioned there, one recent example of the truncating of the committee process was when the government moved to shorten consideration of a bill that aims to tax property speculators who profit when buying and selling houses within a two-year period, known as a Bright Line test. On that occasion, the government's committee fast-track motion was debated in the House under new provisions.
The rules were changed in Parliament to allow us to have a debate about the truncation of select committee processes. That came about at the same time as we moved from a default setting of 6 months for a piece of legislation to 4 months, you know, in order to allow the government to progress business more efficiently. If we go down to 4 months, then I think that makes the threshold even higher for going ahead with a truncated select committee process. Perhaps the business committee does need to go back, or even the standing orders committee, and have a think about what the rules are and how a truncated select committee process gets approved.
Mr. Robertson also outlined the concern his party had about government bills being debated under extended hours provisions, which are usually only used for treaty settlement bills and other non-controversial legislation. When the government most recently moved to use extended hours to progress a number of its bills, there was a rare vote on the move, which passed supported by National and its allies in the chamber, although there was opposition from several parties, including Labour.
Because it's actually a better alternative than putting Parliament into urgency, and generally speaking, what the government's done is use the extended hours process for non-controversial legislation, particularly for treaty settlement bills, which allows them to have the time for the iwi involved to also be included in proceedings. What happened most recently was that the government used the extended hours process for pieces of legislation that we in fact oppose. And we felt that in those circumstances we couldn't support that motion. That's the reality of the situation. We don't believe that that's a good way to use the extended hours process.
Mr. Robertson attributed some of the problems to a breakdown in communications.
I think where there has been a breakdown in the Leader of the House is that just the overall organisation of government business, you know, we appreciate it's a busy agenda that any government has to deal with, but not planning ahead and not giving themselves the time to pass legislation that matters to them isn't our fault. And we will, you know, we will challenge truncated select committee processes where there isn't a good reason, and it's simply a matter of the government's disorganisation that they've ended up in this position.
Labour's acting shadow leader of the House, Grant Robertson.
That report from Rhys Lyon. Among questions for ministers on the Thursday before the adjournment began was this one from the Greens List MP, Mojo Mathers.
Does the minister think it's acceptable that hundreds of thousands of New Zealanders who live with hearing loss are unable to access the TV commentary on the any Rugby World Cup game because we do not have mandatory captaining requirements in this country?
That question from Mojo Mathers was answered for the Broadcasting Minister Amy Adams by her Cabinet colleague Nikki Kaye.
Mr Speaker, I think we are doing a good job in terms of improving captioning in this country, but we can do better. I am advised that there are technical limitations that prevent captioning for the Rugby World Cup games. In terms of mandatory captioning requirements, in the past decade, we have seen a tripling of New Zealand's level of captioning for free-to-air television, and as such, we do not have plans to introduce mandatory requirements at this time.
Supplementary question, Mojo Mathers.
Does the minister accept that the fact that something of such significance as the Rugby World Cup is not being captioned shows that the current model of relying on public funding rather than making captioning mandatory is not working?
The Honourable Nikki Kaye.
Mr Speaker, on behalf of the Minister of Broadcasting, I repeat what I said before, which is that we think overall we're moving in the right direction. We've seen a tripling of captioning content in the last 10 years. We've increased the budget from $2.4 million to $2.8 million. We know that we can improve. We're going to work with Sky TV and Prime to ensure they have the technical capability in the future, but we don't think mandatory is the way to go.
Supplementary question, Mojo Mathers.
Does the minister realise that the All Blacks game against Argentina was screened live with captions in Australia, England, Wales, Scotland, Ireland, France and other nations with mandatory captioning, but not in New Zealand, and does he consider that acceptable?
The Honourable Nikki Kaye.
Mr Speaker, on behalf of the Minister of Broadcasting, as I said before, you know, we are aware that other countries do have mandatory requirements here, but the point that I'd make to you is the the organisation that won the rights to broadcast do not have the technical capability. We're aware of that. We're working with Sky TV and Prime. We've increased the investment in this area, but it's not technically capable at the moment.
And it's the technical challenge of captioning live television that's facing Parliament as it continues to find a way of making its debates and proceedings accessible to all. There have already been two trials of live captioning, as the Clerk of the House, David Wilson, reported to the Government Administration Committee back in June.
We replicated the live setting that Question Time is carried out in. It's just that it wasn't broadcast because we wanted to be sure that it was actually of suitable quality. And it'd be fair to say they've found it really difficult compared to the things that they normally caption, which at least are partly scripted and are not always live. So they've found it difficult, particularly because of the quick interchange between members, member asking a question, perhaps the Speaker saying something, and then the member answering.
Clerk of the House David Wilson, whose previous role as an assistant clerk has been filled by Suze Jones. She's taken over the captioning project, which in the past couple of weeks passed a significant milestone by introducing captions for Question Times on the Video On Demand service via the internet. I asked her how it all worked.
As soon as the Handside's published to the website, which is around 2 hours, the text is formatted and then a caption file is created. That text is then synced with the video and it's published to YouTube, which viewers can access via the Parliament website. They click on In the House and it takes them to the captioned copy. Now, so Question Time goes up one question at a time so people can see it as quickly as possible. So the first captioned question goes up between 3:30 and 4 p.m. on a day when there is a question time, and the last one's up before 8 on that same sitting day.
Now you're looking at live captioning.
Mm.
That would be a different process.
It's quite a different process. Unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be a provider in New Zealand at the moment that can provide the live captioning as quickly and to the quality that we need. So we've gone out to procure the captioning internationally and see what we can. There may be a New Zealand provider we don't know about. And hopefully they will then be able to provide straight onto Parliament TV the closed captions so that people at home, while they're watching TV, can actually see the captions and follow along with Question Time in real time and not wait for the on-demand service.
It would require a team of people. It would be quite a stressful thing to do, I would have thought.
And that's one of the reasons we're outsourcing. We have tried to do it internally ourselves with a team of people, but it's a very specialised skill. Our Hansard people aren't working in real time. They're not transcribing particularly, so they don't have exactly the same skills as the stenographers who do the captioning.
Given that there's not going to be easy to do, how valuable will it be? I mean, how many people actually watch Parliament TV?
Well, we know that about a third of New Zealanders at some time watch Parliament TV. And about 200,000 people use captions in New Zealand for other programs that do have them available. But we know that there must be a crossover. And so there are people who want to use captions and want to watch Parliament TV. So apparently the deaf and hard of hearing community is about 8.5% of the population. So that's a significant portion. And a growing number of people, so 1 in 3 people over 65, have some level of disability for hearing. So we think it's a growing group of people that we really want to have the same access to Parliament as everyone else.
Right, but there is a difference between someone who's hard of hearing and someone who needs captions to actually find out what's going on. It's between the people who are hearing impaired and the people who are profoundly deaf.
There is. But we are treating the caption as an accessibility for all kinds of people. So it's not necessarily, it might be people who just have to have the volume off on their TV in their office and want to follow along and not annoy everybody else.
With the captioning of Question Time, that's published at roughly the same time as the transcript of Question Time is published.
Absolutely, as close as possible that we can get, so that people won't have to go to the Hansard and not see the TV. They can choose which one they want to look at, essentially.
Yes. I would have thought that for many people, just looking at the text would be preferable to actually having to sit through the whole thing.
But I think you do miss some of the cut and thrust if you're not looking at the TV. But, I mean, again, it's a choice that people have.
Clerk Assistant Suze Jones, and you can catch the cut and thrust of the next Question Time on captions when MPs return to the debating chamber at 2 on Tuesday week, October the 13th. More details on our website, parliamenttoday.co.nz. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program is made with funding from Parliament.